We're holding on Chavvav Amud Beis at the beginning of the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah over here was actually all the Mishnahs, the Perek jammed together, as we've had in most of the previous Perekim of Amasechta. So the Mishnah had started off the Shloisha Perekim Vashana Koinim Notzin Eskapeim. We said there were three types of days during the year on which the Koinim Duchen four times a day, the four times being Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Me'ilah. And the 3 days were Taniyos, Mamodos, and Yom Kippurim. Taniyos, we said, are the fast days that they do for rain. When they got Mamodos, we said, are the days when you have these various the various groups of Jews who are each in their week representing the Jewish people when they davened and fasted and so forth, that the tefillos of the and korbanos of the Jewish people should be accepted, and Yom Kippurim. So I want to ask Taniyos, Mamodos, Mi'ikam, Musaf. So what do you mean that that on each of those days they duchen four times? Because on each of those days, the shachris musaf mincha and neila, on a tainus there's not musaf, and on mamodus there's not musaf. Now we did have in the Mishnah we talked about where there are mamodus, and we said that there are times that whenever there's a korban musaf. That whenever there's a korban musaf, then they don't have maimed by mincha or by ne'ilah, respectively, according to the different opinions in the Mishnah. So we could be talking about the regular musaf, in other words, that on a regular day of maimed, there's no musaf. The Rambam actually learns that musaf over here, when it comes to ma'amodis, does not mean what we think of tefillas musaf, but rather it just means an extra tefillah that they daven between shachris and mincha, sort of like what we could have. A person conceivably nowadays can daven a tefillas nedava, a voluntary tefillah. So this would be sort of like that. It wasn't actually to correspond to the musaf in the Bais Hamikdash. Anyway, so according to him, the question would be only on Tanias, but according to everybody else, the question would be on Ma'amodis as well, that there's not necessarily a Korban Musaf, it is not necessarily a Tfilas Musaf every day of Ma'amodis. So the answer is, the Gemara says, Chsuri Mechsura, you're right, the Mishnah is missing words, V'hochi Katoni. What it means to say is, V'shloisha Prokim Koinim Noitzin Eskapeim Kolz Manch Mispalim, means that there are these three times where whenever they daven on that particular day, the Koinim Duchen, the Yeshman Abar Pam Vayoim, among those days, sometimes you have ones where there's four times a day. Shachris Musaf Mincha and Unilas Sharim, the Abrahim, Shlosha Prakim, Tanias, Mamadis Vienna Kapurim. So, in other words, the Mishnah is not saying that on every one of those days, they do in fact daven four tefillahs. Any of those days, when there are four tefillahs, then they're going to duchen four times. But if one of those days there's no tefillas musaf, for example on a tainis, or according to most of the rishonim, on most days of ma'amodes, then in fact you're right, there's only three times or maybe even less, because we said that maybe they don't daven in ila every one of those days either. Okay. Now Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barua, Zu Divrei Rav Meir. Now that's only according to the Meir that was saying that on those days each time they daven they duchen. Abba Chachamim, remember the Chachamim disagree, and they say Shachris and Musaf, Yesh behen Nesiyas Kapayim, only in Shachris and Musaf is there duchening, Mincha and Ne'ilah ain't behen Nesiyas Kapayim, whereas in Mincha and Ne'ilah, there is not duchening. So, Man Chachamim, so who are these Chachamim? So sometimes Chachamim just means generically all the Chachamim, but sometimes we find a particular Tana who in this case the Tana of the Braisa liked that opinion and put it, and sometimes we have it in Mishnah as well, that Rebbe liked that opinion and therefore put it as the opinion of the Chachamim generically, but sometimes we can trace it to a particular Tana. So which Tana do we find that said such a thing? The answer is Rebbe Yehuda. That would be according to Rebbe Yehuda. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Shachris and Musaf Mincho Ne'ilah Kulam Yeshbe and Nesiyas Kapayim Divir Rav Meir. So the Meir says you have Nesiyas Kapayim, you have Duchening on all four of those. Rav Yehuda Arma, Shachris and Musaf Yeshbe and Nesiyas Kapayim, Mincho Ne'ilah Ein Ben Nesiyas Kapayim. Rav Yosi, then we have in the Braisa a third opinion that takes a middle ground. Rav Yosi, in Ne'ilah Yeshbe Nesiyas Kapayim, in Ne'ilah, on days when they daven Ne'ilah, there is Nesiyas Kapayim, there is Duchening, but Mincha there is not. Okay, so the Gemara says, B'mai Kamifli, so what's the underlying Machlokes? So like this, Rav Meir Sava, Rav Meir figures like this, Kol yom a time of my like parsi kani yadayu b'minchasa. Why is it that on a regular day koyim don't duchen by mincha? In principle, now, I mean, what do you know? For us Ashkenazim outside Eretz Yisrael, we only have duchening on Yom Tov. That's something else. That's a minhag that developed in later times because you have to be the simcha in order to duchen. And outside Eretz Yisrael, with the pressures and everything of Golos, we're generally not the simcha, and therefore only Yom Tov are we able to overcome that. But in principle, Me'ikar Adin, Duchening was supposed to be every day. The Sfardim outside Eretz Yisrael still do that. In Eretz Yisrael itself, you have various minhagim. The most widespread minhag is indeed to Duchen every day. It's brought, by the way, about the Alter Rebbe. It's also brought something similar about various other tzaddikim in different times where they wanted to reestablish Duchening every day, but it didn't work out, and they realized that Min HaShemayim, this is how it should be. But in principle, Duchening, Me'ikar Adin, Duchening should take place every day. And there's on the face of it, on a daraisa level, there shouldn't be any difference between one tefillah and another. Any tefillah that takes place by day, you should be duchening. But Rav Meir takes the view, why is it we're saying on a regular day you don't have duchening by mincha? Mishum shichrus. The reason must be because people may be drunk, because people already had their main meal of the day, and together with their meal they would drink wine. As we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara, a Kohen who's drunk wine is not allowed to duchen. So therefore, the Meir says that's why in general we don't have duchening by mincha. Well, so he says on a fast day, it's not a problem. Well, then on Tanias, on days when they're fasting for rain, or Ma'amodos, where we said in the Mishnah, and we're going to explain in more detail in the Gemara, that the Anshei Maimon would be fasting. And on Yom Kippur, of course, everybody's fasting. So then, leka shichrus, so there's no drunkenness. So therefore, there's no problem to have duchening by mincha as well. Therefore, he says that you have duchening by mincha and by ne'ilah as well. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds shachrus and musaf to kol yom aloy shchiach shachrus. When it comes to shachrus and musaf, where every day, even on a regular day, it's not common for people to be drunk because people don't usually drink in the morning before shachrus and musaf. So then loy gozer b'hu rabbanan. So therefore, the chachamim did not have to be gozer and say that you shouldn't duchen in case the kohen might be drunk, because it's very unlikely that by shachrus or mincha, that by shachrus or musaf, they're going to be drunk. Now, Musaf, technically, we know you're allowed to make kiddush and you're allowed to eat a little bit before Musaf. But nevertheless, that little bit, you're not generally going to become drunk from it. You're not usually going to drink so much by that kiddush, even if they have a kiddush before Musaf. Generally speaking, you're not going to drink so much that the Kohenim are going to be drunk and unable to duchen. Actually, the Bach says even technically you would be allowed to have even a full meal before Musaf, but practically speaking, people don't. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is not brought that way, though. It just says you're allowed to make kiddush and you're allowed to eat something, but not necessarily a full meal. You're not allowed to wash and have more than a kazayis. You're allowed to wash, but you're not allowed to have more than a kazayis of bread, let's say. Generally speaking, during the year, of course, we don't. Only on Simchas Torah do we make kiddush before Musaf and have a lot to eat. And in fact, by Musaf of Simchas Torah, we talk don't duchen. For that reason, in fact, for that reason, duchening is moved to Shachris. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, that's fine. Shachris and Musaf, you almost never have drunkenness. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't have to be gozer, that on any given day, you shouldn't duchen by those tefillahs. Mincha and Ne'ilah, the Kol Yom Shchicha Shichris. On the other hand, Mincha and Ne'ilah, where every other day, it is common enough that a person has already drunk. And Tosfos says, okay, relative to the evening, a person might drink even more in the evening, but still, a person might drink enough before mincha or ne'ilah to not be able to duchen. So therefore, gozer b'hu rabbanan. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, even on a fast day, it's true on a fast day, of course, there's not going to be shichrus, but nevertheless, once the chachamim made the rule that you don't duchen by mincha and ne'ilah, then we're going to leave it that way for fast days as well. Now, Rabbi Yossi, meanwhile, says, mincha de isa b'chol yoyma, we have to distinguish like this. Mincha you daven every day, and therefore if you duchen by mincha on a fast day, you might mistakenly go and daven and duchen by mincha of a regular day. Therefore, gozer barabanan, therefore the chachamim would make a gzera not to duchen even on fast days by mincha. But ne'ilah de lesa b'chol yoyma, but ne'ilah you don't daven every day. So therefore, if they duchen by ne'ilah, nobody's going to think, well, that's going to lead us to Duchen on other days at this time. Therefore, the Gozer Barabban, and therefore he says that you do, that the Chachamim were not Gozer on it, which is why he says that on these days, you Duchen by Shachris, by Musaf, and by Ne'ilah, but not by Mincha. Okay, who is the Halacha like? Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Halacha K'Rav Meir. So Rav says the Halacha is like Rav Meir, so therefore you do, in fact, like our Stam Mishnah, Duchen by every one of the Tefillahs, including Mincha and Ne'ilah. Rabbi Yechanan, I'm a nagor on Rav Meir. Rabbi Yechanan, on the other hand, says people are noyeg like Rav Meir, which is a weaker thing. In other words, that it's not that the halacha is like him, but practically speaking, people are noyeg like him. But Rava, I'm a minhag Rav Meir. Rava says something even weaker. The minhag is like Rav Meir. So nagor implies, in other words, people came up with that minhag on their own. Minhag, in other words, is actually a little bit stronger. Minhag implies that it's a minhag kosher, it's a valid minhag. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Manda amar halacha k'Rav Meir. Rab, who says that it means the halacha is actually like Rav Meir, means darshin and lava pirka, means we can actually darshin in public. A rab can darshin in public and inform people, you should know the halacha is like Rav Meir and that there is duchening on these days by mincha and neil. Manda Amma Minag, whereas according to Rava, who says it's a minag, means fine, it's a valid minag. So Midrash Loi Darshinan. So we're not going to darshin in public to everybody to inform them. Oiruya Marinan. But if somebody comes and asks a shayla, should I duchen by mincha or by meila on a fast day, then we'll tell them go ahead because the fact that there is a minag like Reb Meir is a valid minag and you can do that. Manda Amma Nagu. Now, the third, Rabbi Yechanan, who says, that's the weakest of all. So Rabbi Yechanan would say, that means we're not even going to pass him to somebody that he should go ahead and duchen by these two of us. But if he did it, then he did it. We don't make him go down. So if a Kohen by Mincha or Ne'ilah wants to go up to duchen, then we're not going to tell him no, because we don't want people to think that he's a apostle or Kohen or something. But not that we would pass him to people to begin with to go up, and certainly not darshin in public that we should do that. Now that's all one way of looking at it. That we're saying that we can follow Rav Meir. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Amar Halacha K'Rav Yosi. On the other hand, Rav Nachman says the halacha is like Rav Yosi, and the Gemara says in the end, the halacha is in fact like Rav Yosi. So therefore, and according to Rav Yosi, you don't duchen by mincha, you do duchen by ne'ilah. But the question then is, the Gemara says, "Va'idna my time of parsi kani yadai mincha zatifani." So why is it that nowadays the kohenim do duchen by mincha of a tainis? And the answer is given to besamach l'shkias achamak a parsi because since on a fast day they daven mincha fairly close to shkia. So Rashi explains, in other words, that so on regular days they would daven mincha much earlier. Meforshim explained the reason is because afterwards they would want to eat. You're not supposed to eat before mincha. On a fast day you can't eat before mincha anyhow. So they delay mincha until fairly late in the day. So therefore, ketfilas ne'ilah damya. So therefore, in effect, it becomes like a tfilas ne'ilah because it's true that you daven mincha every day, but you don't daven mincha at a time like this every day. So ketfilas ne'ilah damya. Therefore, it becomes like ne'ilah. So Rishonim talk about then. So ultimately, it comes out according to the Gemara that it depends that when we say that you duchen by mincha, it really depends what time you're davening mincha. It depends whether you're davening at the normal time or whether you're davening later in the day. So Tosfos points out over here that in fact nowadays we don't have the minhag of duchening by mincha of Yom Kippur because the fact is we do daven mincha when it's still fairly early in the day because we need time for ne'ilah. On the other hand, when it comes to other fast days, they do duchen by mincha. So Tosfos says, nevertheless, if we're saying the halacha is like Rav Yosi, means there would be duchening by ne'ilah. So again, in chutz la'aretz, we anyway don't duchen by these various tefillahs. But this is why, based on all of this, is why we say evakenu v'lekei aviseinu in all those tefillahs. On a regular day, we don't even say evakenu v'lekei aviseinu v'achenu v'abrocha am shaloshes on Mincha of a regular day, again, because the Chachamim were not masakin to duchen by that tefillah in the first place, because people are commonly drunk. On fast days, there's no issue of that, because people are not drinking anyway. Therefore, we say Alekeinu v'Alekei Aviseinu in token of the fact that really there should be duchening by that tefillah. And similar, so we do that on regular fast days, as well as Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, we also say Alekeinu v'Alekei Aviseinu in Ne'ilah as well. There are, in fact, Kehillahs where they have the minhag to duchen by Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, provided, of course, that it's not after nightfall, because you can't duchen then anyway. It does mention, Otzim and Hoge Chabad mentions that that during the siege of Warsaw at the beginning of World War II in 1939, the Friedrich Rebbe told the Kohenim at that point to actually duchen by Ne'ilah, even though nowadays we usually don't. Why he did that, we don't know. It doesn't give a reason, but of course it's easy enough to imagine that the Friedrich Rebbe figured they need all the brachas they could get. But ordinarily, we don't actually duchen by Ne'ilah. However, we do say Alekeinu v'Alekei Aviseinu. So the Gemara says, "Dekule Alma Mias Shikur Osu B'Nasiyas Kapayim." The bottom line is then that we're saying that what's the whole reason why there are certain tefillahs where we would or wouldn't duchen? It all depends on whether the kohenim are drunk, and we're saying therefore we see from that a drunk kohen is not allowed to duchen. Minani Mili. So where do we get that from? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. Because, like this, Loma Nismacha Parshas Koyin Mevorech LaParshas Nazir, why is the parasha of the Koyinim Duchening, Dabar El Ayin Rabban of Lema Kosev Orochos Bnei Yisrael, why is that right after the parasha of the Nazir in the Torah? They're back to back in Parshas Nazir. Loimar, it comes to tell you, Man Nazir Osir B'Yayin, just like a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, Af Koyin Mevorech Osir B'Yayin, the same way when a Koyin is Duchening, he's not allowed to drink wine. But Maskifla Avur did Abzera, but the father of Abzera pointed out a contradiction, or the Amila Oshia Bar Zavda. If you're going to learn that limud, you're going to learn from a Hekesh, then you should say it doesn't just apply to wine. We know a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, but he's not allowed to eat any grape product. E man Nazir also b'charetzon. If so, then we should extend that. Just like a Nazir is not allowed to eat grape pits either, grape seeds. Maybe we should say that a Koyan or Duchan is not allowed to have eaten grape seeds before that either, or anything from grapes. The answer is, fine, but we have a different Hekish where the Pasuk says that the Hashem appointed the Koyanim to serve him and to bless in his name. So therefore, in other words, there's a Hekish between the Avoida in the Bis Mikdash and blessing and Duchaning. So Mamasharis Mutabakhazan, just like a Kohen who serves in the Bis Mikdash, is allowed to eat grape seeds. He's just not allowed to drink wine. He's not allowed to drink wine, because the Pasuk says, Yain Vashekhar al Tesht, when you go to do the Avodah. So Af Kohen Mubarak Mutabakharatan, the same way a Kohen who duchens is also allowed to have eaten grape seeds. So the Gemara says, if you're going to learn from a Hekish with Shirus, with serving in the Bis Mikdash, Mamasharis Baal Mum Loi, Af Kohen Mubarak Baal Mum Loi, then by that logic you should say that just like a Kohen is not allowed to serve in the Bis Mikdash if he has a mum, so is a Kohen not allowed to duchen if he has a mum. And the fact is, we're going to learn in the next Masechta, in Megillah, Bez Hashem, there are cases where a Kohen who has a mum is not allowed to duchen, but that's not because he has a mum per se, it's more because people are going to stare at him. But nowadays, for example, if the Kohenim drape themselves in a talus, then it's not really an issue, and mumin that are in hidden parts of his body are not an issue, etc. So we see that there's no problem in principle with a Kohen Baal Mum duchening. So it's not like Shirus. The answer is Ho'it Kashal Nazir. Okay, but on the other hand, we have the Hekesh with a Nazir. So in other words, so we have two Hekeshim, and therefore, so the Gemara says, well, my chaz is the Makshas Lekula. So in that case, why are you making the Hekeshim Lekula? Why are you saying we're comparing him to a Kohen Meshores Lekula, that he's able to have other things from grapes, just not wine? And we're comparing him to a Nozir Lekula. A Nozir can be a Baal Mum, and therefore so can a Kohen Uduchens, in Akish Lechumra. On the contrary, why don't you make the Hekesh Lechumra and say that he can't be a Baal Mum, just like a Kohen who serves, and he can't eat anything from grapes, just like a Nozir? And the answer is asmach the ninu medirabbanan olakula. So the answer is that the whole thing is really only an asmachta for dinim dirabbanan. In other words, the girsa that we have in front of us here in the Gemara is that daraisa, all these things would be mutter, and even the koyin being drunk, and therefore we're mekel. So therefore we're only that smachta. Therefore the psukim, the hekeshim, are only an asmachta. Therefore we're using them the kula rather than the chumra, because we're anyway only using them to support something dirabbanan. On the other hand, There are different girsos in this. There is a girsa that Tosfos has elsewhere, which is marked on the side over here, or Tosfos at the end of Menachos, that has a different girsa that said that where the pasuk itself implies that the hekesh is only as far as one particular detail that the kohenim have to stand while they're doing the avodah. And they have to stand while they're duchening. The Gemara Sari has a long discussion of our Gemara over here, and he says no, that we need to take out the word midrabanan in the Gemara over here. These things are actually daraisa. The Kohen is drunk, can't duchen as daraisa. What it is so that we learn that from the hekesh of with shirus, with serving in the mismikdash. On the other hand, we're also saying there is a hekesh as far as the nazir, and it is a true hekesh, but only it's meant to be. But only we see from a detail in the psukim over there that it's meant to be only as far as the detail of not being drunk and not as far as the other thing. He says, because after all, it can't be that a kohen is completely like a nazir. After all, a nazir is not allowed to drink wine ever. You don't say a kohen is never allowed to drink wine. It's only while he's duchening. So therefore, automatically, we see that there's a certain kula in it anyway. So according to him, the hakeshim are in fact teaching us dinim daraisa, but the hakeshim themselves are designed to be lakula rather than lachumra. So that's the halacha. So a kohen who's drunk wine is not allowed to duchen. What about, by the way, you also have, what about if he drank other kinds of intoxicating drinks? So then you have a machlok saposkim, whether he's allowed to duchen or not. And in practice, we try not to. A kohen who is a bal mum is also allowed to duchen. Again, unless in principle, if he has mumim on his face or his hands, where then people will stare at him, then not. We'll learn about that in a few weeks in Masechta Megillah, Be'ez Hashem. Tosfos also says, by the same logic, a kohen who shmadzich should be allowed to duchen. Because we're saying, you know, a kohen of shmadzich would not allowed to serve in the besmikdash. But so what? We're saying over here that not all the rules that apply to serving in the besmikdash apply to duchening. Therefore, also a kohen of shmadzich would be allowed to duchen. On the other hand, the Rambam and other Rishonim disagree with that. In Shulchan Aruch, it says, okay, a compromise. As long as he's still a mumer, as long as he's still a meshumad, he's not allowed to duchen. But when he does tshuva, then we can follow Tosfos and allow him to duchen again. Next, the Mishnah had said Elohein Ma'amados. The following are Ma'amados, and we said Lafishinim at Sabbath. But they still have a Gomer. The pasuk says, "Command the Jewish people to bring the Korban Tamid," and not everybody can be there, and therefore we have the Anshei Ma'amad to represent them. So the Gemara says, "My karma." What exactly is the Mishnah is saying? It's asking what are Ma'amados, and it starts by quoting the pasuk. How does that answer what Ma'amados are? That explains why they needed Ma'amados, but not what Ma'amados themselves actually are. So the Gemara says, Hachakama, right, what the Mishnah means is Elohein Ma'amados, the following are Ma'amados, which we're going to explain later in the Mishnah how the Ma'amados system worked. And now the question is, why do we have them? Ma'atam, Tikka Ma'amados, so why did they establish them? And so in other words, we're asking two questions. Number one, what are Ma'amados? And number two, why would they establish Ma'amados? So the Mishnah is for the moment, leaves aside the first question, focuses on the second question and answers it, that we learn that we get it from Tzavos B'nai Yisrael, and then it goes back to explain how Ma'amados worked. So Lefish and Nemet Tzavos B'nai Yisrael Ma'amot Aleim, since the pasuk says Hashem tells Moshe, command the Jewish people and tell them as Korboni Lachmi Leishai, that you have to bring my Korban Tamid, my Korban, my food for my fire. So therefore, so the Korban Tamid is a Korban on behalf of the whole Jewish people. And as we said, V'heach Korbono Shel Adam Korev, how could a person's korban be brought and he's not standing there to watch it? And it's impossible for all the Jewish people to be there every day. Therefore, his skinu neviim arishanim esrim abba mishmaris. Therefore, the early neviim, as we're going to say soon, Shmuel and David, set up 24 mishmaris. I'll call mishmo mishmo hayamayim et b'yishlayim shal koinim shal aviim v'shal yisraelim. So every mishmar, there were 24 mishmaris of kohenim, and corresponding to every mishmar, there was a maimed in Yerushalayim of kohenim, levim, and Yisraelim. So we talked about yesterday, does that mean that each maimed actually included members of kohenim, levim, and Yisraelim? Or does it mean, as the Ritva says, that it means there were only Yisraelim, but when they're there in the Beis Mikdash watching the korban being brought, you also have kohenim who are doing the avodah, and levim who are playing and then who are singing and playing the musical instruments. So therefore you have kohenim, levim, and Yisraelim present, even though the Anshei Maimon themselves are only Yisraelim. Okay. So they had that. Higiyas man mishmer lalos, and then the Mishnah continues that when it comes time for each mishmer to go up to serve in the Beis Mikdash, when it's their week, then Kohenim Levim Olam LeYishralayim. So then the Kohenim Levim would go to Yerushalayim to participate in the Avodah, and the members on the Yisraelim, the members of the Maimed, would gather in their cities and gather in their shuls, which means, in other words, that the ones who live in or near Yerushalayim would go to the Beis Mikdash, and the ones who live in the rest of Eretz Yisrael would go to their individual cities and do their fasts and their extra tefillos and so forth. And we talked about also in the Mishnah, the Machlokas Rishonim on that, does it mean that only Rashi in the Sugya over here says that it means that that only the ones outside Yerushalayim would be fasting and doing the extra tefillos. On the other hand, the Rambam says the ones inside Yerushalayim, the ones who are in the Beis Mikdash as well, watching the Korbanos being brought, they would also be doing these fasts and so forth.
The Maimonides of the Israel, are they Doraisa? Why do the Israel who cannot offer Korbanos themselves have to be present? What's the reason?
Any Zor who comes close will be with Chayv Misvid Hashemayim. The Levim don't do the Avodah either. They only do the assistant jobs in the Beis Mikdash, as well as the singing and the playing the instruments. But
the Levim don't have to attend Maimonides.
The Levim have to be there in order to sing and play the instruments. And in fact, we're going to talk soon in the Gemara. We're going to have an expression that, of things that are ma'akiv the korban. Now, we're going to see soon in the Gemara about something that's ma'akiv the korban. So does it mean literally that they're ma'akiv? In other words, if you don't have the ma'amodes there, or you don't have the clay shoe there, when we say ma'akiv, does it literally mean the korban is possible without it? Or some of them do learn that way. And in that case, it would mean that it's Doraisa. Others say that it just means it's not ma'akiv, but in other words, it's an essential thing. It's not, the korban is kosher without it, but you're not doing it in the best possible way. There's even an explanation that ma'akiv means they would wait with bringing the korban until the Levim and Yisraelim show up. So according to that, the ma'amodis is completely dirabanan. We're learning it that there should be sit the fingers ma'amodis from the posuk. There's korban lach mili'ishai, but it's not that on the Doraisa level they have to be there. You have another question, whether the whole concept of Mishmaris is Doraisa. The Rambam learns that, yes, he lists as one of the 613 mitzvahs that there should be Mishmaris serving in the Beis Mikdash on a weekly rotation. Now, we're going to say soon that David and Shmuel set up the 24 Mishmaris as we know them. So obviously that's long after the Torah was given. But in other words, the idea is the Gemara is going to explain that there were Mishmaris before that, just fewer of them. Shmuel and David fix the number at 24. The Ramban, on the other hand, disagrees with the Rambam on that. He says the whole concept of Mishmaris is not Doraisa. The mitzvah Doraisa, which the Rambam learns the concept of Mishmaris from, is just that if a Kohen who doesn't live in Yerushalayim comes to Yerushalayim and wants to bring a Korban, the other Kohenim who are living there have to allow him to bring a Korban. They can't say, well, tough luck, you don't live over here, so you don't have a turn. But not that there has to be a rotation of Mishmaris Doraisa. But as far as Ma'amodis, yeah, you have most of the Rishonim say that it doesn't mean that Ma'amodis themselves are Doraisa, but the Chachamim set it up on the basis of this concept that you have to have representatives of the Jewish people there when the Korbanos are being brought. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan.
No, it's Rabbanan, it's not Doraisa.
So Rabbanan, right. Tana Rabbanan, there were 24 mishmaris in Eretz Yisrael. So which mishmaris do we mean? Hagoros Hagura actually adds over here, we mean the mishmaris of the Levim. Because again, he had 24 mishmaris of Kohenim, which are listed in Divrei Yomim, which Shmuel and David set up. Corresponding to them, he had 24 mishmaris of Levim. And corresponding to them, we said we had the 24 ma'amodos of Yisraelim, which may be according to Rashi, those Ma'amodis themselves also included Kohenim and Levim. Anyway, so the 24 in Eretz Yisrael as a whole, Ushtei Mesrei B'Yericho, and there were 12 in Yericho. So what do you mean? 24 and 12, Ushtei Mesrei B'Yericho, Nefishah L'Hutova. Then it means you have 36, and we said there were only 24. Ella, no. What it means is Ushtei Mesrei Mehen B'Yericho. It means of the 24, 12 of them were in Yericho. So what does that mean? Now, Yericho is fairly close to Yerushalayim. So what it is Higiyas Manam Mishmer Lalos. What it means is when it's time for a particular Mishmer to go up to Yerushalayim, Chatzia mishmar haya olam eretz Yisrael liYerushalayim. Half of each mishmar would go to Yerushalayim to participate in the avoda or in the watching of the avoda. Vachatzia mishmar haya olam miYerichoy. Now we have two different girsayos over here. Half of the mishmar would go up from Yerichoy. In order to supply water and food to their brothers in Yerushalayim. Because in other words, so Rabbeinu Gershom has our Girsa, Mi Yerichoy, and he explains that, and he explains what it means is like this. The ones who are coming to Yerushalayim, they're coming from all over Eretz Yisrael. So they don't necessarily have the ability to bring with them enough water and food to be able to last them during their week in Yerushalayim. You know, remember in those days, it's not like you could pack up your car with food. You'd have to bring it on a donkey or something, and there's only so much you could carry. So therefore, what would happen is that they had half of each mishmar regularly stationed in Yerichoy, and therefore, when it comes time for the first mishmar, let's say, to go to Yerushalayim, then the ones who were from all over Eretz Yisrael would come to Yerushalayim more or less empty-handed, without a lot of water and food with them. The other half of that mishmar who lives in Yerichoy would also come from Yerichoy to Yerushalayim, and they would bring with them water and food because Yerichoy is close enough to Yerushalayim that they could easily do that. And then that way they have enough food and water for the mishmar for the week, for the entire mishmar. Rashi mentions that girsa, but he doesn't like it, and he explains instead, rather, that the girsa should be li Yerichoy. So what would happen is when it was time for a certain mishmar to go up to Yerushalayim, half of them would go to Yerushalayim from wherever they're coming from. The other half would not go to Yerushalayim; they would go to Yerichoy, and they would be stationed there during the week. And then from there, they would be supplying water and food to the people, to the ones in Yerushalayim. Either way, the point is, in other words, so what do we mean? There were 12 mishmaros in Yerichoy. 12 is half of 24. So if you have half of each mishmar is located in Yerichoy, whether according to Rabbeinu Gershom, we mean they were stationed there all year round, and now they're coming to Yerushalayim, or according to Rashi, the other way around, they're stationed they live in various other places in Eretz Yisrael, and now during the week when it's their turn, they're stationed in Yerichoy. Half of 24 is 12. So if half of each mishmar is there, then it comes out there were 12 complete, the equivalent of 12 complete mishmaros were there. So that's what it means when it says there were 24 in Eretz Yisrael and 12 in Yerichoy. It doesn't mean 12 separate ones. It means out of the 24, half of each one was in Yerichoy. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kohenim Levim Yisraelim Ma'akvin Es HaKorban. If you don't have Kohenim Levim and Yisraelim there, then it's Ma'akiv the Korban. So again, Rashi learns that it means that each Maimed actually consisted of Kohenim and Levim and Yisraelim. So in other words, who would the members of the Maimed, who would the Kohenim and Levim be? The Pashtus, they would be ones who, it's not their Mishmar's turn that week. So let's say, for example, the first mishmar in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash was called Yehoyariv. We're going to talk about them at the top of Amud Beis. So let's say when it was Yehoyariv's turn to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, so the maimed of that week would include Kohenim who were not from the family of Yehoyariv. They would include Kohenim who are from other families, from other mishmaris of Kohenim. And the same thing with Levim. On the other hand, again, we said the Ritva learns that it means that the Ma'amadis themselves consisted only of Yisraelim, but you have Kohenim and Levim over there, Kohenim to do the Avoida and Levim to sing and play the musical instruments. So we're saying Ma'akvin as a Korban. So again, does that mean literally it's Ma'akiv the Korban in the sense that if they don't have them there, the Korban is possible? Some of the Mephoshim do learn that way. Others learn that it doesn't mean that. It just means that you do really have to have them there, but the Korban is kosher without it. And then some of them say that ma'akvin means we'll wait, actually, the Kohenim would actually wait to bring the Korban if they see, for whatever reason, the Anshei Maimed are not standing there in the Azara, then they'll wait with bringing the Korban until they can get the Anshei Maimed there. So that's one version. On the other hand, b'masnisatana, in a brisa we learn, Reb Shimon Elazar, Kohenim ulavim uklei shir, ma'akvin as a Korban. Reb Shimon Elazar also adds that the klei shir, the musical instruments, are ma'akvin the Korban. So now, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, didn't mention that. He just said, Kohenim Levim Yisraelim. Now, Rabbi Shimon Elazar is saying, well, the Klei Shir, on the act of the Korban. So the Gemara says, B'mai Kumithi. Okay, what's the underlying Machloikas? So the Machloikas is something that we learned about in Sukkah. Mar Sava Ikir Shira B'Peh, or Mar Sava Ikir Shira B'Kli. It's a Machloikas. What is the main thing that you need as far as the singing that accompanies the korbanos is the main thing, the vocal in that case, then the musical instruments are just there in order to make it sound nice, but they're not ma'akev. Or Rav Shimon Elazar holds ikur shira b'kli, the main shira is with the musical instruments. Therefore, if you have the music, if you don't have the musical instruments, then you're missing, you're lacking in the mitzvah of singing and playing by the korban. Which Tosfos points out that that's also a nafkamina, who is able to sing the shira. If we say that ikur, if we say ikur shira b'peh, then it would mean that the musical instruments could be played by anybody, even psulim, even mamzerim. Whereas we say ikur shira b'kli, then it has to be dafka koyinim, then it has to dafka be koyinim levim. And so then the Gemara talks about that machlokas in a few places in Shas. Now back to the matter of mishmaris. So we said there were 24 mishmaris. How did that come to be? Omar of Choma Baguria, Omar Rav, Moshe Tikkun Lehem Yisrael Shmona mishmaris. Moshe originally set up for the Jewish people 8 mishmaris. Arba Mei Elazar V'Dalad Mei Yisamar. 4 mishmaris from Elazar's descendants and 4 from Yisamar. Now it doesn't mean in Moshe's times there weren't necessarily Elazar and Yisamar themselves or Moshe's nephews. They didn't necessarily have at that point during the 40 years in the Midbar that many descendants that there should already be enough to constitute that to constitute those mishmaris. But it meant, in other words, he set up the rule would be once they increase to proper numbers, then we're going to have 4. They're going to have 4 mishmaris of one and 4 of the other. So altogether 8. Then Shmuel came a couple hundred years later and established that there should be 16. Because by his time, there were more Levim, so therefore there were more Kohenim and more Levim, therefore they needed to be split into more Mishmaris. But David, Vahamidin al Esrim Rabba, and then David came along and fixed the number at 24. Shenema, as a pasuk in Divrei Yamim says, "V'shnas ha'arboim l'malchus David nidrashu." In the 40th year of David's reign, they were searched for the Kohenim and Levim. Vayimotz v'hem gibor echayo v'yazer gilad. They found mighty men of them in Yazer Gilad in Eivrei Yarden, and they were among the ones who were made part of the mishmaris of Kohenim and Levim. So we see, in other words, that whole thing was done in David's 40th year. Now Shmuel passed away before David was even crowned king at all. So therefore, it means that long after Shmuel passed away. So therefore, so we're saying that David is the one who made the final decision that there should be 24. So the Gemara says, "Maisvi, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that the order was 8 in Moshe's time, 16 in Shmuel's time, 24 in David's time." But Abraisa says, Moshe Tikkun Lehem Yisrael Shmona Mishmaris. Moshe set up originally 4-8 Mishmaris. Abba Me'el Azav, Abba Me'el Samar. But David and Shmuel V'amidin Al Esrim Abba. But David and Shmuel together established them as 24. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Hema Yisad, when the Pasuk describes earlier in Divrei Hayamim, it describes the Mishmaris. It says, Hema Yisad, David and Shmuel, Haroya, David and Shmuel, the Roya, meaning the Navi, set them up, Be'emunasam, in their faithfulness, meaning as a permanent thing, that this is the way it should be on an ongoing rotation. So we see that David and Shmuel together made it 24. What are you telling me that Shmuel made it 16 and David made it 24? And the answer is Hachikamar. Fine. What the pasuk means is what the Braisa means. Mi yisoda shall David or Shmuel haramasi, based on the basis that David and Shmuel haramasi made hamidim al esrim abba. They ended up with 24. In other words, what it was is so Shmuel increased it by 8 from Moshe's original 8, and David increased it by another 8 to make it 24. So we can attribute the 24 partially to Shmuel, not because he was alive when they actually made 24, but because he was the first one to come up with the idea of increasing them, and specifically to increase them by 8 compared to Moshe's original 8. So therefore, not a stira. There's a Yerushalmi, by the way, that says a very interesting thing about that. Why do they have to pick the number 24? Why not some other number? And the answer is like this. The Torah tells us that one of the 24 matnas kahuna is, if a person has a sdei achuza, a person has a field that he inherited from his ancestors, and he donates that field to Hekdesh. So later on, if he buys it back from Hekdesh before Yovel, then good, he keeps it. If not, then it stays by Hekdesh by Yom Kippur of Yovel, then it actually goes to all the kohenim of the mishmer that it's on duty during the week of Yom Kippur of Yovel. It's called sdei achuza. So now the Yerushalmi says the reason why Dafka 24 Mishmaris, no more, no less, is because they calculated that that way, every Yom Kippur of Yovel, every 50 years, you're going to have a different Mishmar on duty without them repeating until all 24 have gone through. Now, of course, that would take a long time. There's a Yovel only every 50 years. So to go through all 24 Mishmaris would take 1,200 years. In practice, the Bais Mikdash didn't last for that long, but originally it should have if the Jewish people had done right. So therefore, so they Dafka set it up at that number so that you would never have that the same Mishmar gets the Sdei Achuzah twice without a different Mishmar having gotten. This way, every Mishmar has an equal shot at a Sdei Achuzah. Or Yefei Naim, I think an Erchin or something that makes a long and elaborate calculation to show how that works out. But that's why it is. The Yerushalmi says that's why they Dafka fixed the number at 24. The Gemara says, Tanya Idach. Now we learn another Braisa, or a different Girsa that Rishonim have is Mesi. The Gemara is going to use this as a contradiction against Rav Choma Bar Guria, because another Braisa says, Moshe Tikkun Lehem Yisrael Sheish Esrei Mishmaris. Moshe set up 16 Mishmaris, not like Rav Choma Bar Guria had said 8. Shmoina Me'elazar Shmoina Me'isamar. So there were originally 8 Mishmaris from Elazar's descendants and 8 from Isamar. Uksharabu Bnei Elazar al Bnei Isamar. Eventually, when Bnei Elazar ended up being many more than Bnei Isamar in a later generation, Chilkum, then they redivided them, Behemidum al Esrim Abba, and they set up the number as 24. Shenema, as another Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says, Vayimotzu Bnei Elazar Rabim L'Rosh HaGvarim in Bnei Isamar, they found that the descendants of Elazar, the heads of the families, were many more than Bnei Yisomer, Vayachlakum, so therefore they divided them, Levnei Elazar Roshim Leveis Aves Shisha Aser, so they established that the heads of the families for Elazar should be 16, Velevnei Yisomer Leveis Avesim Shmoina, and for Yisomer, they'll have 8. So it was originally 8 and 8, now it's 16 and 8. For Omer, and a couple of psukim later, it says, Beis of Echad Ochuz LeElazar. So what it is there's a base of ochos literally means grabbed. In other words, that Elazar grabbed another base of corresponding to every one that they had. But ochos the Isamar, and the ochos, what was already grabbed, remained grabbed by Isamar, meaning that Isamar remained with the original 8. So the Gemara interjects before we finish with the contradiction on Rav Choma Bar Guria. So the Gemara says, Mai va'oimer. So why does the Braisa have to bring two psukim? We see from the first pasuk already that they had to increase the number of mishmaris of Elazar. So why do we need the second pasuk? So because v'chi tema, because without the second pasuk, you might have thought, ki hechi d'nefishi b'nei Elazar, just as the descendants of Elazar increased, and now they need more mishmaris, hocha nami d'nefishi b'nei Yisamar. So maybe the same thing, Bnei Summer also increased, and therefore Shmoina Me'ikra Bahabu, and therefore you would say that now they need 8, but before they started off with 4. So in other words, you would think, okay, what the Pasuk means is Elazar and Isamar both started with 4. Now Elazar is much more, so now they need 16, but Isamar in the meanwhile had also increased, and now they went from 4 to 8. So in order to show that that's not so, Toshma, based of Echad, Ochuz la'Elazar, Ochuz, Ochuz la'Isamar. Therefore, we bring the second pasuk that shows that Ochuz, Ochuz la'Isamar, that Isamar remained Ochuz. They remained holding on to only exactly what they had before, namely they had 8 mishmaris before, and they have 8 mishmaris now as well. So therefore, Tiyuv to Rav Choma Bar Guria. So isn't that a contradiction on Rav Choma Bar Guria? He said that Moshe set up 8 mishmaris, and this braisa is telling us that Moshe set up 16. The answer is Amalach Rav Choma Bar Guria Tanoi. It's actually a machloikas Tanoim, because after all, we did bring a braisa before that said that Moshe set up 8 mishmaris. So fine, I follow the Tana that says that Moshe set up 4 for each, so 8 total. You have another braisa that says that he set up 8 for each, so total 16. Okay, but I don't have to agree with that braisa because I have a different braisa on my side. So by the way, the way it worked is, the way it worked was, so you had 24 mishmaris, so they alternated back and forth. The first mishmar was from Elazar, the second one was from Isamar, and so forth until they got through 16 mishmaris. And then at that point, 17 through 24 are all from Elazar. The Yerushalmi, in fact, says the name of the 17th mishmar was Chazir, which is related to the word Chazar, because then at that point, the Yerushalmi says it returned to Elazar, meaning from that point on, we have only Elazar, not Isamar. But up until the Mishmaris 1 through 16 alternate one from Elazar, one from Isamar. Okay, So now, what happened when they came to build the second Beis Hamikdash? Tanan Rabbanan, Arba Mishmaris Olam Min HaGoyla. Only four Mishmaris came up from the Goyla, from Babel, to build the second Beis Hamikdash. Meaning, we know in general that many Jews stayed behind in Babel. We have the Psukim in Ezra described that only 40,000 and some Jews came to build the second Beis Hamikdash. So most of them stayed behind in Babel. And among them, most of the Kohanim also stayed behind. So only four Mishmaris actually came up. The Elohim, Yedaya, Chorim, Pashur, Be'imer. Now, three of them, actually, Yedaya, Chorim, and Immer, are listed in the list of Mishmaris in Divrei Hayamim. Yedaya was originally the second Mishmar, Chorim was the third one, Immer was the 16th one. Pashur is not listed over there, and Rashi wonders, in that case, where does it come from? Marashah says what it is there's a Kohen mentioned in the times of Yirmiyahu named Pashur ben Immer, meaning that he was from the family of Immer. So he himself was a no good Nick. The Pasuk describes over there how at one point he heard one of Yirmiyahu's harsh nevuahs about what Hashem is going to do to the Jewish people because of Avodah Zarah and whatever. And the Pasuk describes how he beat up Yirmiyahu and threw him in jail. And Yirmiyahu said a personal nevuah to him of how he and his family are going to go into Golos and suffer terrible troubles. But the point is, he did have a very large family. Apparently, his family did tshuva while they were in Babel. So they were a very large family. So now, when they came to Eretz Yisrael for the second Beis Hamikdash, they were large enough to be split off, to be spun off into a mishma of their own. So altogether, you had four, but that's only four out of 24. So now we still need 24 mishmaris. Omnu Nevi'im Shebeneim. So the Nevi'im who were there at the time, Chagas, Zechariah, and Malachi, stood up, the Chilkum, so they redivided these four Mishmaris into 24. So in other words, they took each of these four families and divided it into six. And that way they have the number 24 again. Now, how do we determine what order they're going to do the Avodah in? The original system of how they did it was done by Goyrol. So once they had the 24 families, they were the 24 Mishmaris, they did a Goyrol to see which one does the Avodah in which order. So now also, Bolum Menosnum Bakafi, they put the names on slips of paper or parchment, and they mix them up and put them into a box. Ba Yedaya, so somebody from the Mishma of Yedaya comes, Benoto Chelka, he takes out from the box his own name, the name Yedaya, Chabed of Shesh, and as well as five other slips of paper to make up altogether six. So therefore, so that determines who the first six Mishmaris in the second Mishmaris are going to be. What the order is, those six are going to be subdivisions of the family of Yedaya. The first one, there's going to be the first one, which kept the name Yedaya. The second one is going to have a new name, and so on and so forth, down to the sixth one. Then, Bochorim Menoto Chelka V'chelet Chaver Sheish. Chorim then did the same thing. So that establishes now the order of Mishmaris 7 through 12. They're all subdivisions of that original family of Chorim. V'chein Pashkor, V'chein Immer, and the same thing, Pashkor and Immer did the same thing. And that way we have 24 Mishmaris, and we have it clear who serves in what order. By the way, though, we do have, from the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, we have names of Mishmaris that are the same as the names from the first Beis Hamikdash. For example, at the end of Sukkah, you have the famous story involving Mishmaris Bilga, which was the name of one of the Mishmaris, the 15th Mishmar, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. Also in the Gemara over there, it also mentions the Mishmar of Yeshevav, which was the 14th Mishmar. So what it was is, in other words, so these new subdivided Mishmaris took on the names. So Marsha explains, in other words, Marsha asked the question, and different Achronim explained, in other words, that the new Mishmaris took on the names of the old ones. So in other words, once they established, let's say, that, so we're saying over here, Chorim is the third set of Mishmaris from 13 through 19. So within the family of Chorim, one of their subdivisions that's now becoming Mishmar number 14, they took the name Yeshevav in memory of the Mishmar of Yeshevav from the first Beis Hamikdash. And the same thing, the 15th one took the name Bilga in memory of that one, and so forth. So they all have the same names, even though they're not the same family. And the Gemara continues, V'chein hisnu Nevi'im b'neihem. The Nevi'im at that time made a t'nai with the Kohenim. Shafilu Yahayodiv, it says it's really supposed to be Yahayoriv with a resh. Shafilu Yahayoriv Rosh Mishmeres Oila. Even if at some later point, Kohenim from the Mishma of Yahayoriv do come to Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, lo yidocha yadayim imkayim. We're not going to push yadaya out of their place. We're not going to say, well, in the first place, Mithash, yadaya was Mishmar number two, and now people from Mishmar number one have come back, and therefore we should give them their slot. No. Rather, Yadaya still keeps their first place. Yoyarev becomes secondary to them. In other words, what we do is we redivide Yadaya into five groups instead of six. And fine, we give one of those slots to Yoyarev. But they never get to be first again because of the knas for the fact that they didn't come up to begin with to build the second Beis Hamikdash. So that was the system they had during the second Beis Hamikdash. They still have 24 Mishmaris, but those 24 are descended from only four of the original families. Then we said in the Mishnah, the Yisrael Shabbosim Mishma Miskantin Barayan, we said when it comes time for that week's Maimed, then the Yisraelim of that particular Mishma, meaning Maimed, they go, they gather together in their cities, the Kurdin, Mamaisa Bereshis, and we said, they fast and they say special tefillahs, so they also they read in the Sefer Torah from Maisa Bereshis. So the Gemara says, Menohani Nili, where do we know that from? Why Dafka are they reading from Maisa Bereshis? The Omer of Yaakov Ba'acha, Omer of Asi, because Il Mole Ma'amodis, Lenis Skaimu Shemaim Va'aret. If it weren't for the Ma'amodis, meaning being involved with bringing the Korbanis, then the heavens and earth would not continue to exist. Meaning, Rashi says, if it weren't for the Korbanis, then the Jewish people would be destroyed because of their Averis, Chatz V'Shalom. No Jewish people, no heaven and earth. Hashem only created the heaven and earth in the S'chus of the Jewish people. So therefore, the Jewish people doing the Korbanis causes that heaven and earth continue to exist. Now, of course, what do we do nowadays when we don't have Korbanos? That's the next piece of the Gemara over here. Shenema, Vayoymar, Avraham asked Hashem, Hashem Elikim, Bamo Edaki Iroshena, with what will I know that I'm going to inherit Eretz Yisrael? Now, on one level, it means that Avraham is expressing like a, almost like a little bit of doubt. Is it true that we're actually going to inherit Eretz Yisrael? In fact, there's a Gemara in Nedarim that says that Avraham was actually punished for that. That the Jewish people ended up being enslaved in the Tanayim because of that. But the Gemara here is rather taking that it's not that he's saying that it out of skepticism. After all, and Marashah points out right before that, the pasuk says Vehem in Bashem, that Avraham trusted Hashem. So rather, it means, Omer Avraham, Rebbeinu Shlomo, Shema Yisrael Choytin L'chonecha. What happens if the Jewish people do Averis before you? Is it possible after Oisalahim Kedurah Mabel, the Kedurah Floga, that you might destroy them like the Dura Mabel or like the Dura Floga? Omele laps. Hashem says, don't worry, I'm not going to do that. Omele fun of Rebbeinu Shalom Hodi'eni Bamot Yirashena. Okay, so tell me, in what schus are they going to inherit Eretz Yisrael? Omele, and Hashem answers him with the pasuk, Choli Egla Meshulashes, Ve'ez Meshulashes. Okay, Hashem tells him to take the animals for, the Bris Ben Absarim. And those animals, those are the same animals that are brought as korbanos. So in other words, Hashem is telling him symbolically that the Jewish people are going to bring korbanos from these animals, and that way they'll have a schus to continue living, to continue existing. Amalafana, Bar Avraham says, Rebbeinu Shalom, Tenach Bizman Shebeis Mikdash Kayim. Fine, that works when the Beis Mikdash is standing. Bizman She'ein Beis Mikdash Kayim Matahaleim. What happens when there's no Beis Mikdash? Amalai, as Hashem tells him, Kvarti Kantilem Seder Korbanos. I already established for them the order of the korbanos in the psukim. Bizman shekoden behem lefanai. When they say these psukim before me, when there's no korbanos, mal yani aleim kielu kriyum lefanai. Then I consider it as though they brought the korbanos. Vani moichel lahem akol avneseihem, and I forgive them for all their averus. So therefore, so we see that the korbanos have a very close connection with the existence of the Jewish people, and therefore, so that's why these Anshei Maimed, even the ones who are not able to be in Yerushalayim, they're reading from Ma'aseh Bereishis to represent that concept. This is also why we have every day in davening, we have a large trunk of davening consists of the psukim of the korbanos before Hoidu. That's why it's based on this Gemara over here, that way it counts as if we brought those very same korbanos. So Rashi is bothered by the fact, where do we see that part in the Pesukim? We see Hashem telling Avraham to take the Egla Meshulashes and so forth. Where do we see Hashem saying anything in the Pesukim about that you should daven instead, that you should say the Pesukim, and I'll count it as though you brought the korbanos? So Rashi says on that Gimgum, like it's a little hard to understand where we get that from. Marsha says, because we noticed the expression that Hashem used to Avraham is kholi egla mashalashas and so forth, which literally means take for me a calf and so forth. So the word kha also connect then with the pasuk Chui Machem Dvarim V'Shuvu El Hashem. The pasuk in Hosea, which we read on Shabbos Shuvah, we say, "Take with you words and return to Hashem." In other words, use words to say to say vidui to Hashem and to do tshuva. So therefore, we see that speaking to Hashem is called Chu, and there is called Chui Machem Dvarim. Therefore, when Hashem tells Avraham, he's also hinting at this point that we're saying over here in the Gemara that it's not just the physical korbanos, it's also the words that we say of how the korbanos were brought, but that also counts. A different explanation, the Rifan Ein Yaakov says, you have a few psukim later, where Hashem shows Avraham the golos, v'hine ema chasheicha gdola nefelos olav. And at the beginning, in fact, Avraham himself is saying, "Bamoeda ki iroshena." The word iroshena can also mean to be dispossessed. You know, what's going to happen when the Jewish people are dispossessed of Eretz Yisrael? And Hashem is answering him that even in the time of Golos, this bris ben absorim and the korbanos that it represents are still going to continue to exist in Tefillah. Okay, so the Gemara says, these members of the Mishma, meaning the Maimed, they would daven on behalf of the Korban of their brothers, the Korban Tamid, and then the other Korbanas, that they should be accepted favorably by Hashem. Meanwhile, the Anshe Maimed, the ones who are not there in Yerushalayim, the ones who were in other places, would gather in Shul. Now, so according to Rashi, that's what it means. In other words, that only you have the ones in Yerushalayim would not be doing the special tefillahs and kriyas and whatever. They would only, their job was to stand in the mishmash. According to many Rishonim, even the ones in Yerushalayim would also do the special tefillahs and whatever outside of the time when they're standing in the mishmash. Anyway, so they would gather in shul. The Yoshman Dalad Taniyas. They would fast for 4 days out of their week. Vasheni Vashabbos, Vashlishi, Vraviyu, Vachamish. They would fast on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And each day when they're fasting and davening, they're asking Hashem to save the Jewish people from a particular trouble. Vasheni al Yodeh Hayam. On Monday, they would be davening on behalf of people who are traveling by sea, that they should be safe. Rashi explains the connection is because on Monday, there's Yehi Rokiya B'Seich HaMoyim. Hashem separated the Mayim Oyonim and Mayim Tachtonim. So therefore, we want to ask that people should be saved where they're traveling in Mayim Tachtonim, in the water. On Tuesday, they would be fasting and davening on behalf of people who are traveling in the desert. Rashi explains, on Tuesday, Hashem created the dry land. So therefore, the Seiroa Hayabosha means Teheru Uyabosha, the dry land should be suitable and work well for those who travel on it, that they shouldn't be harmed by wild animals or whatever. On Wednesday, they would fast and daven about Askara, which is some kind of throat disease. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that it starts out in the mouth and it goes down and it travels down to the stomach. There's a few different explanations what exactly it is, but the Gemara in various places mentions that it's a kind of disease that causes the person to choke for lack of air. So on Wednesday, particularly, they would daven on this Askara, that it shouldn't affect children. Now, obviously, it shouldn't affect adults either, but children are more susceptible to it. Why Dafka on Wednesday? Rashi says on Wednesday is when Hashem put the sun and moon and the other planets and stars in place. Yehi ma'oros v'kiy ha'shamayim. It says there should be ma'oros in the heavens. The word ma'oros over there is written without the vav, so therefore it can be read ma'eros, which means curses. So Askara is a particular curse that they're asking Hashem should take away from the Jewish people on that day. On Thursdays, they would daven on behalf of the pregnant and the nursing women. They would daven on behalf of the pregnant women that they shouldn't miscarry. And on behalf of the nursing women that they should have plenty of milk for their children. What's the connection with Thursday? Rashi says on Thursday, Hashem created the living creatures, Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. So now they're davening on behalf of the living people that they should be safe and they should be able to continue having and raising their children. Next, Erev Shabbos Lahim is Anan Mifnei Kavod HaShabbos. Now, on Erev Shabbos of their week of their Maimed, they would not fast because of Kavod Shabbos, so they don't go into Shabbos still fasting. Kavod Chayim of Shabbos Atma, all the more so they don't fast on Shabbos itself. Now, Be'echad V'Shabbos my time aloy, why don't they fast on Sunday? Now, of course, we just mentioned reasons why they fast on the other days, implying there's no particular reason to fast on Sunday, Marsha asks. But nevertheless, the point is, in other words, that still they could have found some reason to fast on Sunday. Why bedavka do they not? Now, in the Mishnah, we had an expression that they don't fast on Sunday, so they don't go directly from the enjoyment of Shabbos to the discomfort of fasting. But it seems that that is not part of the original Mishnah, as we talked about yesterday, which is why the Gemara here has to offer different reasons. So Rabbi Yochanan says the reason why not is because of the Noitzrim. Noitzrim means the Christians. They have Sunday as their special day. As we know, they have Adayim as there. So what's the problem with that? Rabbi Gershom says if they see us fasting on the day that they consider to be a holiday, then they're going to get angry at us. So therefore, the Chacham didn't want that. Now, the question is, the Mephoshim asks, the Marsha asks, for example, his gear says not Noitzrim, but Glilim, which, okay, also means them, because their guy started out from Galil. But anyway, so what? I mean, the Mishmaris go back long before them. The Mishmaris go back to where Jewish people were strong over the Goyim, and they have no problem with it. So he gives a slightly different explanation. The vote is, since the Goyim consider it a holy day, and it seems, he says, that even long before the Christians, they already considered Sunday to be a holy special day, just the opposite. We don't want that the Anshei Maimon are going to be fasting and avoiding work on that day, then it's going to look like we're celebrating their weekly Chagah. So therefore, we don't do that. A different explanation, actually, is the word is not Noitzrim, meaning Christians, but Noitzorim, meaning because people were created on Friday, and therefore, that's the next thing. The Gemara says, because Sunday is the third day since human beings were created. Adam and Chava were created on Friday. So you have Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. The same way, for example, as we say that the third day after a bris milah, a person is weaker. The same way on Sunday, a person feels weaker than the rest of the week because the third day since Hashem created them. So therefore we don't want to fast on that day because it'll have more of a bad effect on them. So according to that, the Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani is explaining Rav Yechanan's Mepnei HaNetzorim. So again, the word is Noitzrim meaning Christians, or the word is Netzorim meaning created. Resh Lakish, Resh Lakish has a different reason. The reason you don't want them to fast on Sunday is because of the Neshama Yisera. So because it would be too much of a shock to your system to go from the enjoyment of Shabbos to the fasting of Sunday, which is similar to what we had in parenthesis in the Mishnah. On Erev Shabbos, a person is given an Neshama Yisera, but Mitzoy Shabbos not by Moisim Imenu. And on Mitzoy Shabbos, that Neshama Yisera is taken away. Shenema Shabbos by Yinofash, as the Pasuk says, Hashem rested and was refreshed. So we doubt in the word by Yinofash, Kivin Shabbos, after a person has rested on Shabbos, Vai, woe of the nefesh, that nefesh is gone. This is also why we smell the summon on Matzoi Shabbos, in order to refresh ourselves. So therefore, in other words, the point is that by the same token, it would be too much of a shock to a person to go from having a neshama yisera and eating and drinking extra on Shabbos to go to fasting on Sunday. Therefore, for that reason, Rish Lakish says that the Anshei Maimon did not fast on Sunday. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Yashar Koyach.